As John the Baptist ushered in the ministry and the life of Jesus, he was baptizing in the wilderness of Judea, calling all to repentance because the kingdom of heaven was near. And John said, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear the threshing floor, gathering the wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." A tale of two harvests. The wheat will be gathered into the barn, and the chaffs will be burnt with unquenchable fire. Let me have your ears, church, because it is necessary. It is absolutely necessary for this reality, a tale of two harvests, to be a reality to us, to be important to us. John the Baptist here is a good example of our fourth core value. Our fourth core value is actively investing, taking personal responsibility, doing whatever it takes to move the gospel forward. This year we've been dedicating a sermon series to each of our five brand new core values. Earlier this year, we looked at our first two core values. Let's take a look at those again. God is first, and all things following him is the priority. Second core value, devoted to God, a full dependence on him and a complete abandonment of self. Those first two core values, they deal with our relationship with God and growing in God. Our last three are focused on actively pursuing the mission of Christ, that is, investing in people. So growing in God, investing in people, our mission statement. Core value number three, we just came out of a series on core value number three, and that is growing God's kingdom, increasing and developing devoted disciples of Jesus. Hopefully, as we are going back through these and reviewing these, every word of these core values and their definition, because we've just exploded them all out in the series that we've been through. And so we enter this week into core value number four. Man, oh man, this one, they're all good. They're all good for their different reasons. But this one, actively investing. We're going to be focusing on that part. And then I'll be gone next Sunday. We've got a special guest speaker. We have Jay Henry's grandson. Will be here next. What college again? Lincoln College, Lincoln Christian College. And so he's going to get an opportunity to speak here. You're going to get an opportunity to share with him. And I am going to get an opportunity next Sunday. I'll have an opportunity to drive back from North Carolina. So that'll be the end of my vacation. So that's what I'll be doing. So the week after that, then, we're going to be looking at the other parts here, taking personal responsibility. Oh, you're good. You could leave the... So actively investing, focus today. Then when I come back, taking personal responsibility. And then the week after that, doing whatever it takes to move the gospel forward. So after Matthew describes John the Baptist and his ministry, where he's calling everyone to repent because the kingdom of heaven is near, and his introduction of Jesus as the one who is coming after me, that is more powerful than I, who will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. Matthew then tells of the day that Jesus himself came to be baptized by John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist pushed back a little bit, and he was like, "No, I shouldn't be baptizing you. You're Jesus." And Jesus wanted to make sure that, you know, we know Jesus didn't need to be baptized. We needed Jesus to be baptized. It was for us. He's our leader. We needed an example to follow. And so John obeyed, submitted to Jesus' request, and baptized Jesus. And right after that, Jesus goes out into the wilderness, into the desert, to face off with Satan. And then he comes back to begin his 3-year earthly ministry. If you haven't yet, go on and flip over your bulletins to the sermon section. And we are going to look at an overview to, and then we're going to kind of zoom in towards the end of the message here. But right now, just start with an overview here of Matthew chapter 4 all the way to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 4, and this is a passage we looked at about a month ago when we were in core value number 2, devoted to God, in the sermon about devoted to God's mission, that we should be devoted to the mission of Christ. And we looked at this passage here in Matthew chapter 4 about the calling of the disciples and how when Jesus called out to Peter and Andrew, that wasn't a request. It wasn't a question. It was an imperative statement. It was a command. Come follow me. They had built a relationship. They knew who he was. And it was time for Jesus to say, now it's time. Come follow me. And they did. They left their family fishing business and they followed Jesus. And a duplicate story happens with James and John, two other fishermen, two brothers in their family fishing business. Jesus called out to them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. So after this, Matthew then branches out into a section where we clearly see that Jesus gives the example of what actively investing looks like. Let's write that down. Jesus gives the example of what actively investing looks like. In this section here in your bulletins where you've got that from chapter 4 to chapter 9, you've got all sorts of different stories of Jesus actively investing into people's lives. He heals the sick. He heals a man with leprosy. He heals the centurion's servant. He heals Peter's mother-in-law. He heals the blind and the mute. He freed people from demonic possession, calmed a life-threatening storm at sea, forgives a paralytic, and then heals him, and raises a dead girl back to life. All of those stories happen just here between Matthew chapter 4 and chapter 9. And that is not only that, but included in that, three of those chapters, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, is where we find, what do we find there? Bible scholars, what? Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the famous Sermon on the Mount. A collection of things that Jesus probably taught multiple times in his ministry here. That's collected right here in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. That we understand we've titled as a Sermon on the Mount. And in this section, we get to see specific examples of Jesus teaching. So he went out. And he was actively invested in the people. He was actively invested in teaching and sharing about the kingdom, going through all the towns and villages, teaching, sharing the good news of the kingdom, and serving them on a physical level, healing them, exorcisms. This description occurs, and there are bookends to this section. And this description of what Jesus did appears in these bookends, which these are impossible to miss once you see them. So Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, and then you have all these stories of Jesus doing these healings and exorcisms and in the big Matthew 5 through 7, the Sermon on the Mount. And then you've got Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, and these bookends. We're gonna read these two, and when we read them, you're like, wow, they are identical. So it's obvious that Matthew is writing this with purpose and intent. Here's what Jesus did. Now let me show you all the details, or not all. A few, and then here's what I just told you that he did. So here's Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. Right before all that happens, Jesus went throughout Galilee. This is right after calling the disciples. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. So 1, 2, 3, 4. And then again in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, go back to the other slide. Look, well, okay, it's you can see words just kind of shift. Go on and move to the next one. Because they're the same words. Jesus went throughout all the towns and villages, 1, teaching in their synagogues, 2, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. So let's write this down. These are ways that Jesus shares with us how he was actively investing in the people. The first thing was that he went throughout the towns of Galilee. He went throughout all of that. So let's write this down. We are to go. And that's be where the people are. Be where the people are. That's what Jesus did. Jesus went throughout Galilee. He went through the towns and villages. He went to them. He didn't expect them to come to him. And I think sometimes we get the field of dreams mentality with churches nowadays. If you build it, they will come. And it's really, we have a society and a culture that supports that understanding. And it's detrimental to the way that Jesus modeled for us. We see it successful in other places, and we're like, well, if we just do what that church does, or that church does, or that church does, if we build it, then they will come. If it's nice enough looking, they'll come. If the worship's just pa, 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 then they will come. That was not Jesus' model. Jesus went to them. Jesus went to where the people were. And we need to see that. We need to understand that, because this other model, the build it, they will come, it's going to be a flash in the pan. And then people are going to be scratching their heads wondering what in the world is going on. And I don't know if disciples are being developed. We talked about that in the last series. That's a big concern of mine. I want to make that a life mission, to really dig into that topic and understand what it really means to make disciples, deep disciples, thick disciples, devoted disciples. And it's not if you build it, they will come. It's go and be where the people are. That's how you connect. We must understand that as we walk through our life, as we walk through each of our days, we encounter all sorts of people. The places where we go, the people we interact with, that is our mission field, church. You don't have to go to Haiti or India or Egypt. You step into a mission field each and every day of your life. And we need to understand that. That was Jesus' model, to go and be with the people. And as our core value, this needs to be influential in shaping our mindset, in giving us a worldview that has purpose with every step that we take of our days as we walk out among the people. That we are following Jesus' example to go. And then understanding that whenever we are around other people, that we are going to have just a gob of opportunities, and we're going to be able to apply some of these other things we see in these bookend statements. Jesus went throughout Galilee. He went through the towns and villages. And what else did he do? He taught. Let's write that down. How do we actively invest? Well, we teach. And when Jesus gave an example of what teaching was, it wasn't just teaching, here's what God's word says. Jesus would teach how to apply God's word. That's where it made connection. That's where it connected to people's lives. It wasn't just a bunch of Bible studies. Jesus sat down, and you can see this throughout the Sermon on the Mount. You've heard that it was said, but let me show you how this applies to your life. Let me show you how this connects with you personally. Here's what it means to fast. Here's the purpose behind it. Here's what's underneath that. Here's what it means to pray. This is what prayer looks like. This is the connection to it. Murder isn't just something that's physical. Jesus said that your harsh comments can murder a person from the inside. That connects. He's not just teaching what God's word says. He's teaching how God's word applies to their lives. Adultery isn't just a physical act. It's a mental act. He says that even if you look at another person lustfully, then that's adultery. You've already committed adultery with her in your mind. In that section, he says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Boy, that applies, doesn't it? That connects. He says, love your enemies and give to the needy. Store up eternal treasures instead of focusing on temporal treasures. Don't worry. Focus on God. Trust God. And those are just some of the teachings in Matthew 5 through 7, the Sermon on the Mount. Just to look at an example of how Jesus taught. When we think of teaching, we go to scholastic. Jesus took that and he said, here's how you really connect with the people. Is you learn, and we talked about this in one of the series before, you learn and then you pass it along. You learn and then you pass it along. Well, now we're kind of digging a little deeper into that, and that when you learn these things, then you learn how they apply to life situations. Because as you walk among the people, as you go around the people that you spend time with every day, every week, you're going to have opportunities that come up. You're going to have people that come up, and they're going to have someone, you might have a neighbor that's got a problem person at work, and you're just out doing yard work, and you bump into each other, and they start talking about that. And you just, yeah, I know what that's like, yeah. But if you're reading, you can turn that into a teaching opportunity to go into talking about how, well, you know, in my relationship with God, the things that I've learned from His Word is here's how you treat someone like that, or here's how you work through a situation like that. Here are the patience. Here's, you know, don't return the anger with anger. Return the anger with kindness. See how that works. See how that connects. It's not just you teaching. You're not just being boom, boom, boom. I'm not just a bow belt. Here's a scripture verse for all. No, you're saying, here's the things that I've learned from God's word. Here's how it works. Why don't you try it? Give the wisdom some advice, or give this advice, this wisdom, some, give it a try. See how it applies to your life. See how it works for you there. And so we use these opportunities, and so we actively invest teaching the way Jesus taught. Here's how to apply God's word. Jesus also shared his firsthand experiences with God. And this is a witness type thing. And he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom. Let's write this down. Witness. How to invest, actively invest in other people is to witness. Share firsthand experiences with God. Jesus shared not just what he knew about God's commands and teachings. He proclaimed the good news of the kingdom because he had experienced the good news of the kingdom. He was the good news of the kingdom. Jesus knew how God rewarded the humble because of his relationship with God. That's firsthand experience. And that is directly connected to the good news of the kingdom when we understand that. That's not just a learned understanding, but we know from our experiences with God and our relationship with Him, He rewards the humble. And that is connected directly to the good news of the kingdom. Because we don't deserve what we get. It's grace that gives us what we get. Is that not the message of the gospel? God rewards the humble. And we have life experiences about how we have seen that happen in our own lives. Jesus shares about how God knows what we need before we even ask for it. Many of us have had those experiences, our personal experiences here, of how we've shared things with God, and God's gone a step above or step ahead of us, or He's been before us. And it's not just a truth that we learn from God's word, it's a truth that we experience. And those experiences are great to be able to share when you come into contact with all the people that you come into contact and you see an opportunity, an open door. And you can share, well, here's an experience I've had with God on this subject or on this subject. And here's what He did with me, and here's how He worked with me, or here's what He did for me. And all of that comes down to the gospel, because none of that's possible without a relationship with God. And the only way we get a relationship with God is through the good news of the kingdom. So every time we share about our experiences with God, we're sharing about the good news of the kingdom. You see how that works? And we can draw that down to that. Some of us, we share our experiences. Let me take you to level two. Share your experiences, but always bring it back to the gospel. And it always will. I guarantee you. It won't take much to connect those things. When you think about how, well, you know, I was going through this and I just had to, you know, I had to drop pride and I had to let that go away and I just had to humble myself and God took care of me. And that's, I shouldn't have been surprised, because that's what grace is all about. See how that's just, you can just connect it right in. You know, Jesus shares about, won't go too far. That's the next one. So Jesus says that you can't serve both God and money. We've experienced that. I think everyone in this room has experienced that struggle, and we know that it's true. We know that that is true, not because it's a learned experience, but because, or not because it's a learned knowledge, but it's experienced knowledge. We've chosen one or the other, and we know what that feels like. The times when we choose God over money, And we know what that feels like to put our trust and our faith in him. And we know what it feels like when we put our trust in money and how empty that can be and how dangerous that is. And the disappointments that leads to and the stress that leads to. We've experienced that. You say, well, how in the world, how is that proclaiming the good news of the kingdom? Well, because isn't the good news of the kingdom, isn't accepting the grace of God, isn't that a choice between any other thing that you could choose and choosing God? That's proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. When I chose God, I chose God. And the times when I move over and I choose other things and life is miserable, then I have to be reminded, this was a choice I made and I need to get back on the right track. That every one of us, any one of us can share that with people that we come into contact with because we have personal stories and you have personal stories to attach to that. I'm just sharing a general. You have individual stories of, man, then I went through this time and da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, Jesus was human. Jesus was subject to human weakness. So I can only imagine that he would have felt worry. And he would have had to struggle with that. And I have no idea what that would look like, but I know in Hebrews he describes it. Jesus was made human like us so that he could share in our weaknesses. And he could share in any of our weaknesses. So when Jesus shares in the Sermon on the Mount, don't worry, trust God. I have to believe that he had bouts with that. We see it a little bit in the garden. Worrying. I'm going to turn this over to God. I wonder if he felt it just previous to this in the story when he faced off with Satan. Worrying if he was going to be good enough. Worrying if he was going to be able to handle this being human and God at the same time. We have those experiences, don't we? Where we struggle with worry and anxiety. But guess what? The kingdom we belong to, the kingdom of heaven, it's a worry-free kingdom. You see? You can bring that right down to the good news of the kingdom. Proclaim the good news of the kingdom. We struggle with, and that connects with people because everyone has worries. Everyone has anxiety. And when you share your experience and your relationship with God and say, well, you know what? I had this and I was struggling with it, but I had to just focus on my relationship with God. And that's what the kingdom I'm involved in. That's what it looks like. And it's a worry-free, anxiety-free kingdom. And that's the kingdom I belong to. And that's attractive when you're talking to other people. I gotta keep moving. The last thing we see Jesus do, so we see that he went among the people, he taught, he witnessed, he shared about the good news of the kingdom, and the last thing we see is that he serves. Let's write this sentence down. This sentence has got some thickness to it. Serve, compassionate action that loves on a tangible level. That's what Jesus did when he served. Compassionate action that loves on a tangible level. If we're going to actively invest in others, if we're going to do so the way that Jesus did, as he is the leader and we are the followers, then if we're going to actively invest, then we are going to serve. There's no separation of those two things. If we are going to actively invest in others, we are going to serve others. And Jesus' example of serving was a compassionate action that loves on a tangible level. And you look at all the different ways that Jesus did that. And just the short little piece here in between these two bookends. The healings, the exorcisms, and they were very tangible. And they came out of his compassion. And every time Jesus, and this is multiple times through the Gospels, the gospel writers record Jesus felt compassion and then he acted on that compassion. We have to have both of those things, to feel the compassion and then to act on it with a tangible love. Now, without getting into some big discussion on supernatural gifts of the Spirit, I don't think there are many of us here that are going to, you know, raise the dead. Just saying. Or, you know, I steer free of the whole exorcism stuff. That really gives me the, whoa. I know it's real. I know it's there. there are other people that can, you know. But listen, when we see these things that Jesus did, we say, well, you know what? I don't have those powers. I don't have that ability. We have what we have. Jesus had what he had, and he served with what he had. That's what he did. And I'm not dumbing this down too dumb. This is just, you know, serving for dummies. It's not really, it's just serving. That's just what it is. You take what you have and you use it to serve others. Jesus had the ability to cast out demons. Jesus had the ability to raise the dead. So he served people with that. But we can take that very example and apply it to our lives. What do you have that you can, where you have compassion on someone? Every one of us has the ability then to take that compassion and to put it into action and love with a tangible love and do something that's tangible. That connects. That connects with people. It's not just, well, I'll pray for you. No, go beyond. That's good. But do something to help. Jump in their pit with them. Jump in their hole. Jump in their muck. And if it's just to hold their hand, if it's just to listen to them, if it's just to be a shoulder, we can serve, we can love, we should be filled with compassion. And we can love on a tangible level, and we should. Because that's Jesus' example of what it looks like to actively invest into others. So as we go back to Matthew, we see these two bookend sections over this large section here. And then after this bookend, we see in chapter 10, Jesus sends out the 12 to do what he just showed them to do. And we can go on, well, that doesn't have a blank to write in, but that's next in your bulletin there. The disciples are sent out to give it a shot. Jesus shows them, then he sends them out. And it's no different with us. Jesus says, here's what it looks like to actively invest in others. You go where the people are. You teach them. You show them how to apply God's truths in their life. You share about the kingdom of God. You proclaim the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom. How do you do that? You have experienced the kingdom of God in so many different ways. You share those experiences. And you serve. Compassionate action. That reveals a love that had on a tangible level. And you do that and you actively invest. And Jesus sends out the 12 and he says, okay, I did it. You watched me do it. Now you go and do it. A few Sundays ago, and I've become a bird person. One of these days I'll tell you the whole pearl story, and it's really funny. But not today. But I've noticed since I have bird friends of my own at the house and bring them in the office from time to time, I've noticed birds in the wild a whole lot more. And it's just really, really neat. So I was on my way out the door down here on the way to my car by the fire station, and came out that back door, the back metal door. And right there on the kind of by the concrete block there was this little guy. He's so adorable. It was this little fledgling. So yeah, there we go. Did you know that baby cardinals have mohawks? Is that awesome? Turn the next one he faces. Look at that. Whoosh. That's a Terry West bird right there. That's he was just, and I had just been reading up because we had a fledgling in our yard right before I mowed. I saw him there and I was like, oh no, he can't fly. And so I was going to try and do whatever I could to help him out. And then when I was reading about it, I was like, okay, he has feathers. This is a normal stage. And they said, just leave him alone. So I put him in a box while I mowed and got him out of the box after I was done mowing. And I was just like, you know, said a little prayer for the little guy and don't let the cats get him. But I saw this little guy out there and I was like, okay, he's got feathers and he's missing a few on his face, but he's got feathers. So he's in the fledgling stage. This is normal. So he's hopping and jumping and doing different things. And I didn't know he was a cardinal. I just saw a little fledgling bird here. And I'm like, oh man, I hope he's going to be all right with, you know, I hope he learns to fly real quick. Then I noticed out to the right, just this beautiful cardinal. Just, I mean, they are so red. I mean, just brilliant red. And I noticed the male, and then I noticed there's a female cardinal right there together. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. You know, you normally see that in spring. But, and then I noticed they were flying down at different times to this little fledgling. And I was like, it's a cardinal baby. And mom and dad, and that's the really cool thing about birds in the bird kingdom, they will parent. Birds, a lot of birds will mate for life. And that's, so they were, and I sat and I watched this and I recorded it. I didn't want to put the video up on the screen or anything like that, but I recorded some of this, and it's a little, he'd jump up and flap, and the dad would come down, and he'd, and I don't know what he's saying, you know, flap harder, you can do this, or whatever. Mom was coming down, and she was like, watch out for the cats. I don't know which one, because in a relationship, one of them's always the paranoid one, okay? And that's me. My wife's more, oh, just let them run. And I'm like, no, you don't know. There are bad people in our world. So anyway, and I don't know which one of these two, but they just kept coming down, and one at a time, and they'd come down, and this little guy was doing his best to try and flap and fly. And you know what? Sometimes we stay in the nest. Safe. And just because you can't fly yet doesn't mean you shouldn't be out there trying. Amen? Because you're not going to learn to fly without being out there trying, and there's dangers. But I guarantee you, you're going to have the support and the encouragement of church members. You're going to have the support and encouragement of the Holy Spirit, Jesus, and God, His Word, all of that behind you. Jumping down like mom and dad cardinal saying, hey, you can do this, you got this, watch out for this, or be careful with this, or flap harder here, or here's how you do this a little better, and you're going to get up off the ground, you're going to do this. Jesus sends out the 12, and He says, you go and do what you've seen me do. And church, we need to do the same thing. We need to get out there and flap for all we've got. Let's go back up to the beginning of Matthew, way back to John the Baptist ministry, and that little quote that I read to you earlier. He says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. I return to that church because this is a big deal, because here are the stakes. Here's what we're looking at, a tale of two harvests. This is why we actively invest into others. That's why we follow Jesus' example by going and teaching and proclaiming and serving. Because we know the reality. We know that there are two harvests. And this is described in other places in Scripture. One of the places it's described is Revelation 14. Let me read this to you. It'll be up on the screen. John the Apostle. So we have John the Baptist that we were just talking about, and we have John the Apostle. John the disciple, he writes, he said, then I heard a voice from heaven say, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them. I looked, and there before me was a white cloud, and seated on the cloud was one like the Son of Man, with a crown of gold on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. Then another angel came out of the temple and called in a loud voice to him who was sitting on the cloud, take your sickle and reap, because the time to reap has come. For the harvest of the earth is ripe. So he who is seated on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the earth was harvested. These are those who are blessed. John was told to write this down. Blessed are those who die in the Lord. These are the same ones that John the Baptist described as the wheat that were harvested and brought into the barn. The time to reap has come, this angel says to Jesus. And those who have prepared for this harvest are harvested. And they are blessed because they died in the Lord. But there's a second harvest. Another angel came out of the temple in heaven, and he too had a sharp sickle. Still another angel, who had charge of fire, came from the altar and called in a loud voice to him who had the sharp sickle, take your sharp sickle and gather the cluster of grapes from the earth's vine, because its grapes are ripe. The angel swung his sickle on the earth, gathered its grapes, and threw them into the great winepress of God's wrath. They were trampled in the winepress outside the city, and blood flowed out of the press, rising as high as the horses' bridles for a distance of 1,600 stadia. That's a lot of blood. A sea of blood, 180 miles across, that's about the distance that 1,600 stadia would have been. To put this into perspective, that's almost the width of Ohio. Ohio is 220 miles. We're kind of a square state. We're 220 miles, 220 miles. So if this were a pool that were 180 miles across, just to get a visual, that would be what the painting that the Spirit is sharing with John to share with us, is that would be about like the state of Ohio, covered in blood, high enough for horses to swim in. This was not meant to be a pretty picture, church. The Spirit was painting a picture for John to paint a picture for us, because he wanted us to see, here is what's at stake. This is the tale of two harvests. Some will be blessed, they will be brought into the barn. Let's write this down. Two groups will be harvested. Two groups will be harvested. The wheat, which is the righteous, they will be blessed because they died in the Lord. And the chaff, those are the condemned. The wheat go into the barn, and the condemned to unquenchable fire. Church, this core value is so very important. Actively invest, taking personal responsibility, doing whatever it takes to move the gospel forward. Let's zoom in, and I just want to take some quick notes. I spent a little time earlier. Zoom in here to chapter 9. Let's go back up. This is the we're catching up at the second bookend. So let's reread that so we can get into this other part here. The second bookend says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. 1, 2, 3, 4, right there. And then we get to see some of Jesus' motivation. In verse 36, he says, when he saw the crowds, he had what? He had compassion on them. Why? And we see this here. It says, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. So as we zoom into this piece here, we see that Jesus is filled with compassion because the people that he saw, they did not have the proper resources for security and protection. Let's write that down. It wasn't up on the screen. You guys were just kind of sitting there. I was like, okay, this is the next note here. So Jesus had compassion, and it says very clearly, Matthew gives us a picture, and here's why he had compassion. It's because he looked at him and said, these guys, they're helpless, and they're harassed because they don't have a shepherd. What does a shepherd do? The shepherd gives you protection. The shepherd gives you security. Church, we need to look at the world around us and understand that they are sheep without a shepherd. And this isn't just that they are lost sheep. They are without protection from God's wrath. They are without eternal security. That's why Jesus had compassion on them. They were helpless and harassed. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Church, we're going to change that. Amen. Miami Town Church of Christ, we are going to do our part to change that statement. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Let's write this down. I just want you to take these with you. We must share Jesus' concern. And boom, 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 1, 2, 3. Be aware that the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. Be aware that that is the truth. That's always going to be the truth, but we can do what we can to make our part, to do our part, to be the workers. Number two, pray to send the workers into his harvest field. We need to pray more. I really think we need to pray more. And we need to pray specifically about actively investing as a church. Doing whatever it takes. Taking personal responsibility. And doing whatever it takes to move the gospel forward. We need to pray about that. It's what Jesus told us to pray about. And last, look to Jesus' example and expectations of his disciples. Jesus gave an example, and he gave an expectation. Little fledglings, get out of the nests. Go and do what you've seen me do. And we see this when we fast forward all the way to the very end of Matthew. He says, go. Go among the people and teach them. Make disciples, baptizing them, and teach them. You're bringing them to the good news of the kingdom of heaven. And we do that by serving them. Actively invest. Pray with me. Father, thank you so very much for your son's example that he came to earth, not just to tell us what to do, but to show us what to do, to show us how it's done, to show us how it's successful. Father, I ask that you would help us as a church, that you would help us as your church, that when we turn things over to you, that when our workers are not few, that you will do amazing and great things. We're going to be talking a couple weeks about the feeding of the 5,000. Father, I want us to already be thinking about that concept, that idea, that when we give something that's small in comparison to some of the other churches around us, when we give to you something the equivalent of a little boy's lunch, Father, that you bless it and you give it back, and we go and we do amazing things for your kingdom because we gave to you what little we had. Father, I pray that our prayer would be that you would send workers into the field, and that we would not pray that without being willing to be a worker ourselves. I pray as we go through our week, some to work, some to their retired life, some to a school-less summer with a few more weeks left. I pray that every one of us of all ages, that we would see every day as an opportunity, and that the people we walk among, that we are going out among the towns and among the villages of our life, that you would help us to be able to see opportunities to apply your truth, to introduce others to your wisdom, to share our experiences with your kingdom, to serve others. Help us to actively invest. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.